Welcome, everybody. This is Mike TV, episode 42, in which we will be discussing Westworld season 3, episode 4, entitled The Mother of Exiles. My name is Lisa. Joining me is my wonderful co-host, Dean. Hello, Dean.
Hey, Lisa. How you doing?
I am just swell here in my social distancing, whatever bullshit we're dealing with that just keeps going on and on. The days are trickling by.
Same. This is literally the best spring break I've ever had. Sitting in my house with my family. All the time.
It's becoming the definition of insanity, right?
Yeah.
Doing the same thing over and over, but expecting different results.
Yeah. My highlights of my day have been pressure washing my driveway.
Oh my goodness. I can't even say I've had anything that exciting. Highlights of mine have been rewatching Westworld.
There you go. I'm glad there's a show like ours out there to help people who can't understand Westworld break it down week by week.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, everybody who's not listening right now to our podcast, but maybe listening to Radio Labyrinth, should you find yourself questioning the events of Westworld and need a podcast or perhaps a YouTube to help you? I mean, I know we're not on YouTube, but this is exactly what we do. Listen up, folks. You've got questions. We've got answers, right?
Yeah, we try to do it for the people.
Yes. So, Dean, the mother of exiles. You know, we haven't been talking about our last couple of episodes in Westworld coverage about these episode titles and their meaning, which are always so, you know, they're not as cut and dry of episode titles like some other shows. So this one is, I guess, an actual line from the Statue of Liberty poem. The bring me your tired and your, you know, that one.
Yep.
It's a famous poem.
Yeah.
And the Mother of Exiles is actually is part of the line from that. But I don't really understand really how that relates to this episode in any way.
I don't know, except for
freedom,
a boat
liberty.
Full of Dolores is showing up in to the world. I don't know.
Yeah, liberation, all about liberation, and I guess, I don't know. Still cool. What'd you think of this episode?
I thought this episode won for the twist that I called, which we'll get to. I was happy about that, but I actually just thought this episode was a badass episode. We had our both leading ladies, Maeve and Dolores, show off their awesomeness and how awesome they are. Again, I know we're kind of making some subtle digs at Radio Labyrinth, but for other people who may think that this is the girl power show, we've had these two ladies as leads for 3 years, and it's been in no way a wokeness type of thing.
Yeah.
And they're just awesome characters who happen to be, and they're not female, they're robots, so...
Yeah, I should say not so subtle. Yeah, we're not being subtle. We're making straight up jabs.
Sorry, Tim.
I'm not. Get with the program.
Both the ladies get to show off their fight skills. And we get the man in black finally returning with just some great scene chewing by
Ed Harris.
Ed Harris. And fantastic episode.
You think this is the last we'll see of him in such a this truncated season here, this 8-episode season? I mean, we're halfway through now.
No, I think we'll definitely see him
in the finale.
I would hope we'd see him. I would hope we'd see him one or two more times, if not more so.
Maybe. Of course, you know, I guess skipping to the very end, I guess the last words to him are, "You're in the game now." So,
right.
Yeah, maybe he's in it now for the rest of the season.
And there's still the question of if he's a host or not. Mm-hmm. So
there's a lot of questions. Now, again, I've got our breakdown here scene by scene, but I've really sped up the breakdowns because there was just so much fighting and kind of discussion about stuff we already know in this episode, other than the reveal at the end. So this might be actually our fastest Westworld episode yet. But I do want to say, yes, you know, for those who've watched this episode, obviously, hopefully you've watched this before listening to us. And if you've listened to our past episodes, Dean very wisely suspected here that there could be multiple Doloreses in these hosts. And I can't remember, Dean, if I dismissed that. I think I maybe entertained it a little bit, but didn't really go down the same rabbit hole in believing it in any way that, you know, like you were really believing that, you know, is a strong possibility. You had some facts there to back that up or something.
Yeah, I think I kind of half convinced you when I pulled up the fact that when there had to have been, since Dolores was originally in, or not originally, but was in Charlotte, then made a Dolores, there had to have been someone either there to switch them, or they had to both be Dolores. Or Dolores herself, or what we see as Dolores, wasn't Dolores.
Yes.
Man, I got to get my string out and start putting my pin board together.
We decided we didn't like a lot of like brain pearl switcheroo kind of happenings. Now, my whole issue with this, and we can talk about it more when we get there, so just some food for thought here. But my whole issue is, I thought these brain pearls were representative of a specific host, of a specific, like, in other words, they were like what our soul is to a person. These were to represent the, you know, imprint of a specific host. So how indeed are these brain balls actually Dolores's? There's a throwaway line here at the end. Maeve was like, oh, she just made copies of herself.
Well, I would assume...
Is that possible? This feels a little retcon, Dean, or little retcon. And I love Westworld, and I'm never going to say a bad thing about it and never stop. I'm never going to stop watching it or tear it down. But this feels a little, I don't know.
No, I mean, think of the idea that we've already have seen characters have multiple storylines. We've seen Maeve in her original storyline as the woman with the daughter and then turned into the head prostitute. We've seen Dolores was originally Wyatt and then turned into Dolores. We've seen people who have been, but Maeve's a special person.
She was originally Dolores turned into Wyatt.
And then turned back into Dolores.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. We've seen people be their makeup has been copied over and turned into other people. Even her father was turned into another person or was going to be turned into another person. We've seen characters become other characters. Now, of course, Maeve and Dolores are super strong to where they've broken through that. But and that makes even sense when you think of Charlotte talking about, I feel like Charlotte's been taking back over. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like they may be able to break through this eventually, but I think if anything, she just reprogrammed them to fit a new character. How is that any different than if you recycled a character in the park and took them from one area and changed their storyline and their programming and who they are?
Yeah.
They've shown this before.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So that's all she did.
I guess they also gave us a really huge clue with the room full of Bernards back in episode two.
But even then, that's different. That's making multiple literal like bodies for a person. Right. This is just it's reprogramming a character in a video game. That's all she did. She updated to Windows, you know, the next Windows version.
So does that mean that the pearls that she took from other hosts, that their actual identities are gone now, or she could still restore them?
And again, I think we get the clue from the last episode with Charlotte, especially when she sees the kid and her ex-husband and she starts feeling, and she says, I feel like Charlotte's trying to break through me and come to the surface. So I think we might see that these characters possibly can break through. But the Charlotte one is weird to me because Charlotte was not an original host. She was a human being.
Right, but if we are to believe that her human data was also programmed somehow so that she could still lead Delos.
And if these are all pearls that were, if we're to assume that these pearls were pearls like Maeve's and Dolores's and some of the others who have the capability of becoming sentient and breaking through the maze, basically. Mm-hmm. I guess technically anybody can break through the maze. So if that's the case, then yes, I think technically they could break through, but as of now, they aren't. So.
All right. Okay. I'm going to stew on that for a second. Going back to our previous episode, we had talked about doing a Rehoboam tracker like looking at the different when it showed us Rehoboam and then whose story was unfolding to see if we could get clues there. And after watching this episode, I pretty much abandoned that because
we didn't need
the clues anymore.
Yeah, it was basically to prove that theory, and the theory has been revealed. So,
yeah. I appreciate the quick reveal. I didn't, you know, I'm glad they didn't hold this out till the season finale. I think.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's dive in, shall we? So the show opens on William, and he's in his house, and he's being haunted by Dolores, and he's freaking out, and he's shooting his gun at everything. So he's got a big old mess all over his house. He keeps screaming he knows that she's not real and that he knows who he is. Next, we see he's haunted by his daughter, Emily. And she's asking him how he can tell if anything is really real, even. And I like this weird echoey effect when Emily is speaking to him. Kind of lets us know that this is, you know, in his head, I guess. And by the way, this actress that plays Emily was in season 3 of The Leftovers. Do you remember her in that? She was one of the Swedish doctors that operated the machine that Nora went into.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I forget her name, but she's a really good actress. I hope we do get more of her. We do get the reveal of William's fingerless right hand. Did you catch that scene? It was quick when Emily hands him a shard of glass, is telling him to finish the job. And we see that his hand, the one that was maimed in the season 2 finale, you know, was left in the season 2 finale with William unsure or unclear if he was dead or not. You know, because his hand was bleeding out so horribly. And I think he'd also been shot.
Yeah.
Right. So obviously, I guess this is not really proof here that William is still human and that he is indeed his life.
No, because that final, or not the final, maybe it was the final scene of the finale too, where we see that future of him almost being, you know, as if he's being programmed as a host. Yeah,
sure. But what we don't know is in this timeline right now, if he's a host or still human, because he could be a host that is, you know, like, like potentially Caleb, a host who thinks he's a human. You know, like Bernard once upon a time did.
Yeah.
So in other words, they could have made him a host with his hand, with this maiming to keep the facade going. So, but I'm choosing to believe he's still a human at this point.
I don't know. If he is still a human, which I guess this makes sense to where the story goes in this episode, but they are definitely, I think somehow these facades of Emily are being created by Dolores because she does know exactly. Well, she knows everything that's been going on. She tells him it's just because she's been recording him.
Yeah, she could hear his side of the conversation. I kind of actually believe this is going on in his head. This is his own conscience, you know, getting to him because he killed his daughter. I mean, you know, she's. So he's haunted by it. He's haunted by the horrible, shitty things he's done.
I don't know.
But Charlotte in recording, having, you know, recordings in the house of the, you know, conversation that's taking place, I'm sure is getting enough from this one-sided conversation that she knows what he's going through. I don't know. Or he's a host and this is part of the simulation.
I still think there's at least one pearl we have not accounted for, so I think it might be him.
True, yeah. And with, yeah, okay. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if he's still human, actually, I have another point of my reasoning there, so we'll talk about that at the end with the final scene with him. So, he's awoken from this, from these visions of Emily because Charlotte Hale walks in. She tells him it's time to come back to reality because the guy he sold data to 20 years ago is coming back to take over his company. And William says he doesn't really care that, you know, that Serac is welcome to it. But when she tells William that Serac is after the data from inside the Project 16 or Sector 16 project, and that there's a mole inside the company who led him to this secret data, this totally enrages William. So then Charlotte tells him to pull it together and that there's going to be an emergency shareholder meeting at which he'll need to be able to vote so that they can have their company or so that they can take their company with a private investor that she has lined up. Of course, we've speculated already that for sure the private investor is Dolores.
Yeah, and
not that any of this matters anyway, but
have we decided yet? Like, she is the mole, right? Or the original Charlotte was the mole? Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, any other comments about the scene here? We cut.
No, I liked it. Like I said, it was some great scenery chewing by Ed Harris, and we get a little bit more later on. So he's great.
Yeah,
he's making the most of his little time.
Yeah. Aw. Anyway, after opening credits, we get this interesting flashback scene, I'm going to say. However, it's been pointed out several times over that this scene is in letterbox format, the scene that we get when we come back from credits. And oftentimes, this letterbox formatting is indicative of other timelines. I'm choosing to say that this is a flashback because that's what it looks like to me. But you never know with this show. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, it's Dolores and Bernard, and they're walking through his house, and Dolores is explaining to Bernard, and Bernard is, you know, coming to the realization at the same time that she got out of the park. She's been creating other hosts, including him, and this is all overlaid with, you know, scenes of him having these memories, I guess, this conversation is overlaying these scenes. So I didn't really take specific notes. A lot of these scenes we've seen before. This was, you know, getting us into Bernard's head for the next scene for sure. But any thoughts here on what we were seeing?
I still wonder what, and I think we'll find out more next episode, but I still wonder why even create Bernard? If she made all the other hosts as her, why did she make Bernard... Bernard, and especially I would assume she would know that he would try to stop her. And apparently she knows, like, she's obviously a step ahead of him. So there is some kind of
grand design.
Chess. Yeah, there's a chess move we are not privy to yet. Sure. But she's way ahead of everyone here. And so I like that. She's the, she's becoming the Amal Farouk of Westworld, which I love.
Yes. She is.
She's the Shadow King of 2058.
She's the badass female Shadow King. Did we need a female Shadow King? Like, really? Did we need a female Shadow King? All right. We get our only Rehoboam shot of the episode. This time it says Divergence, Victorville, USA. I have a question for you. Is that a real Victorville? This is like a new. This is a new futuristic city, right? There's no Victorville. What is this?
There could most definitely be a Victorville somewhere. Yes.
Looks like it's in California or somewhere on the coast.
Yeah, right? but learning what we learn later this episode that there are, and we've already had hints of this, that there was some kind of potential World War III or something like that, that it could be something else. It could be reminiscent of that.
Yes. So next we see Bernard is walking. He's carrying a duffel bag. He sees a family and the little boy. This is like a mother and a father. They're like coming back from the beach or something. And the little boy does make him think of Charlie, get a little flash of Charlie. Isn't that strange that we have one little, like, you know, him thinking of Charlie? So I still want to tie something around this Charlotte Charlie thing. But anyway, in the background, we also see in this scene that there's a rock, there are several rockets and they're landing, what, like engines down? Is that the way?
It looks like there are a couple rockets landing and then we see one launching. So it definitely looks like there's some kind of spaceport or something.
Yeah. Yeah. But newfangled technology for rocket landing gear, right?
Sure. Elon Musk finally cracked it, yeah.
I'm no rocket scientist after all, but
nope.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't work that way. Anyway, it was cool. And it was interesting. And I wonder why, you know, like they were showing it. Just again to remind us we're in the future, I guess.
Possibly.
Maybe. I don't know if it's going to mean anything. Anyway, there were some people on Reddit, I guess, pointing out that this lady, the first time Bernard looks at them, she's folding a towel that's like multicolored. And then when Bernard looks at them again, like the next instance, that it's a different towel. It's a completely different color towel. This is as he's like walking past them. I watched that scene a couple times. I don't even know. I mean, because they're, again, everybody's trying to look for multiple timelines surrounding Bernard, right? So like, is this like, could this be the divergence happening here? Is that something got switched? And the key there, the clue there is that she's got a different towel in her hand from one glance to the next. But she's clearly folding these towels and putting them in a duffel bag. So I propose that it's just another towel. I don't think there's any trickery here. I don't think, I mean, these writers are clever and stuff, but I don't think they bury a clue in some extra off, you know, off to the side folding towels. You know, I think the key there was that Bernard saw this little boy and thought of Charlie.
Right.
That was what needed to be noted there, not the freaking towels in this woman's hand. But anyway. Bernard goes to his hotel room. Stubbs is there waiting for him. Always comic relief here with Stubbs. Like, he's just, you know, he is the comic relief.
Oh, he's gone. You know, cause this is, I can't think of his first name, but I know he's a Hemsworth Ashley. Brother. Yeah. No, actor.
Yes. Hemsworth.
He's not Chris Luke. Or Liam, but he's Luke. He's Luke Hemsworth. And he's definitely channeling, Thor here as fat Thor drinking the beer and in game.
Yeah. Yeah. He does bitch about the shithole hotel they're staying in. Bernard says they have to conserve their limited resources. Stubbs does make mention about having a bad shoulder after the 5-mile swim they had to get, you know, they had to get to shore. So yes. I guess they're being very covert. You know, I mean, we saw them get on a boat last episode, or episode before last, whatever. So I guess they, you know, did a little 5-mile swim, but. You know, this got me questioning. Now, the actor, Luke Hemsworth, he injured his shoulder in real life. So they wrote that into the episode, the injury that he took when they were fighting in Medieval World, when he was fighting.
Yeah.
So I guess they're writing this into, like, as to why he's not, like, up to snuff in, like, later scenes when he fights with Dolores. But my question is, how do their bodies work exactly? We've seen Dolores kind of be slowed down from injuries, but quickly recuperate. So maybe here he is. Oh my, he had to swim 5 miles. I mean, he's a freaking robot. So he's going to have a hurt shoulder from that, Dean. Come on. What?
Well, I mean, he's already tried to kill himself and, you know, was suffering from bullet wounds when Bernard first found him, right? So maybe he still hadn't recuperated from that.
I don't know. Bernard's done some repair work on him. This point, and they also do make a throwaway line here where Bernard makes note that they can't spare the resources even to repair Stubbs's shoulder.
So yeah,
he's just suffering. He just has to suffer with this. I don't know. Anyway, Bernard has figured out that Dolores's plan is to her whole plan here is kill and replace.
Yeah.
And we see on his tablet a picture of Liam Dempsey and Martin Connells. And then in the background is Dolores. I can't believe she would allow herself to be photobombed like that and be caught on camera like that. Right. But anyhow, it exists. And so they jump to the natural conclusion that she has already turned Liam into a host.
Which would make sense because as powerful as he is in
the book. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also see Bernard is like tinkering with some stuff at the table. He builds one of those remote control contraptions that freezes hosts. And he tries it out on Stubbs, which proves that it works. And it when he brings Stubbs back, Stubbs is really pissed about that.
Yeah.
I love that. Fuck you, Bernard. So I love that Stubbs is like aware when things are happening to him that he can't control, you know?
Well, and he's going to make the comments later when he meets Dolores that you can tell he doesn't want to be, he even says like, it's Bernard's fault. He reprogrammed me. Like, and again, If he can be reprogrammed, then why can't somebody be reprogrammed to think that they are Dolores?
Maybe. Maybe like a, some sort of like a hive mind. Like, so they still could all be...
She's the Borg.
They could still all be Teddy and Clementine and all of that, like, really, the pearls.
Yes.
But they could be reprogrammed to be, like, part of this, like, multi-Dolores hive mind, right?
Yeah, okay. Sure.
All right, sure.
It's awesome. Like when you sign into your Microsoft Office account in another computer and then realize you just turn that computer into all your settings that you didn't want to turn it into because your other computer has that.
Yeah,
awful.
It's exactly like that. let's see. So they laid out their plan here. Basically, is that they have Bernard has hacked Liam Dempsey's car service, and Stubbs is going to pose as a driver to this party thing that Liam's going to, and then they're gonna like nab him, you know, there at the party. Okay, so that's their plan. So we cut to Dolores and Caleb are shopping for a suit for Caleb. What a very cool futuristic way to try on clothes.
Yes.
I mean, that's the way I definitely want to do it.
Yeah, I wish we had that technology right now while we're all stuck in home.
Mm-hmm. We kind of do. Now, I know the apps that are coming out with like the like Stitch It and whatever. I don't know. All those like online clothing companies that can supposedly take your measurements with your phone. So I think it's coming like, or like the VR technology, like you can hold up like your Rooms to Go app and see it all in your room, like your real living room with the furniture put in there. Like somehow that technology is emerging, right? Anyway, you know, Dolores in the scene convinces Caleb that he has to pretend to be one of these wealthy elitist people to enable so that they're able to get the revenge that they're seeking. And then next we see fake Chibs or new Chibs.
New Chibs.
I have fake Chibs in my notes. Yeah, I have new Chibs everywhere else. I don't know why I have fake Chibs here. But anyway, new Chibs telling... For those who are just listening for the first time, new Chibs is what we call Martin Connell's with the host implant. Chibs, of course, being his name on Sons of Anarchy. So new Chibs tells Liam that they need his hash key, and Liam's blowing it off, saying he'll just deal with it later. And then new Chibs gets very intimidating, grabbing him, you know, by the shirt, basically letting him know he knows all of, you know, he's been handling all of his financial dealings for so long. He knows everything, all the dirty little secrets. Says, if you want to be in charge of your own financial affairs, I'm happy to relinquish them to you. But if you want to resume your extracurricular activities, you need to cooperate now. So he gets real intimidating and it works. Liam gives him the passcode and he says, that's a good lad. I believe.
Yeah, and I love
That's a good lad line in Sons of Anarchy also.
I'm sure
several
he has.
Times with Jax Teller, right?
Yeah, I love just that, and we may see a flashback at some point, but how much Dolores must have been watching these two to realize that he was actually the better person to try to nab, because even before they took him that very first episode, he showed this power over Liam when he told him, like, I ran your father's company for 20 plus years, da da da, like, and you're not gonna fuck this up for me. And like, so he basically has already shown that, yes, even though you are the little child with all the money, like, I will kill you in a heartbeat if I need to, and like I'm the one actually looking out for the best interest of what we all are here for.
Yeah, good. Like, she observed that Connell's is actually the brains here, and already in on all of Liam's conversations. We saw every time he had a private conversation, Connell's was always there next to him, even telling him like when to cut it off and when to, you know.
Liam's basically like the boy king.
He's the shot caller. Yeah.
Liam's basically the child who somehow inherited the throne, but you know, Chibs is the right hand duke or whoever that always like is going to tell him what he needs to do and not do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like Liam is like Tommen Baratheon, and Martin Connell's is like Cersei.
Yeah, exactly. Connell's is Cersei.
Okay. Let's see. La, 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 la.
Actually, Connell's is probably more like the older land, Tywin.
Tywin.
Yeah.
Tywin.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Same color hair, at least.
Yeah.
Anyway, en route to the bank, Dolores and Caleb bump into this guy, and Dolores immediately like starts making conversation with him and confirms that he works at the bank where they're headed. And then she knocks him out, and they confirms that he has a I guess that he has an account at the bank. I don't know.
Well, no, I think that he's the he's like the account manager basically for this account. And I think she knew who it was. It was almost just her way of confirming that's who it was.
Yeah, she needed this guy's blood, in other words. So my notes are not real clear here how she in one line confirms he is who he is, but
I assume she knew immediately who he was. Yeah.
So we see a little bit of how they how you get identity through the blood, which becomes part of the Maeve discussion here in a little bit too. So
And now in this time of COVID, I would highly recommend that you should not take somebody's blood and inject it into your own.
No.
And I would say that would go for anything, much less COVID, HIV, any other kind of blood transmitted disease. It's that's just not sanitary.
How about just the fact you can't mix blood types like that, right? So like,
sure, right? You can't even possibly do that. Not.
So
She hoped he was the universal donor.
I hope so. Okay, so yeah, she has to. She needs this guy's identity. So anyway, they knock him. She confirms his identity, knocks him out, and then gets a bit of his blood, and then immediately injects it into Caleb's arm. Again, no testing there went on or anything. But hell, she's a robot. I'm sure she knows. And she says that they're going to need his blood for the encryption key at the bank, and that they only have about 20 minutes to pull this off before the blood oxidizes.
Yes, and then we get that awesome line that we saw in the original trailer of, and if this doesn't go right, we'll go to plan B or the backup plan, which he asked what that is. I kill everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that actually comes up in just a second, but yeah, it's again, loving these two together. Dolores and Caleb are great. But we cut first, before getting back to them, we do cut to this fancy bar. And Serac is telling Maeve to bring herself back online. And she tells him that he tells her that they are in Singapore. And she says, if you really wanted to impress me, you should have brought me to Paris. And he explains that he would have loved to have shown her Paris. That's actually where he grew up with his brother. We get a flashback of him and his brother running through a wheat field. And then he says, but there's nothing left to see of Paris. Like you, I know what it's like to see your world disappear in the blink of an eye. And then we flash back to him again as a child from that same wheat field, this time seeing a city off in the distance, burning, clearly bombed. And we also see men in hazmat suits motioning for him. Question, when you saw these boys running through the wheat field, did you not think of a young robot Arnold that was taunting Man in Black in the park?
Yeah,
and it's you know, and so this reveal here that Serac had a brother just started making me think,
was his brother English?
Was his brother Ford?
Yeah, who was English?
Well, if they were separated as children, who knows? You know, if these hazmat suit men came along and he got separated. And who knows? Ford could have been, I mean, because if his name used to be Serac and he wanted a new identity, he could have been putting on an accent, you know, an English accent. I'm sure that's easy for French people to.
Is it?
I don't know. And but, you know, I mean, I know. Don't you think there's a significance there? He had a brother, and this brother looked an awful lot like robot version of young Ford.
Maybe.
All right. Well, we'll see if that shapes up to anything.
Hey, I don't know. A couple weeks ago, you thought I was crazy for thinking there were multiple Doloreses. So
it's true. Time will tell. You never know. For all we know, that whole thing with the lady in the towels is actually going to become important.
Yeah.
So Serac goes on to say he's waited many years for Dolores and Maeve and the others to arrive, but he now sees that they're not really the threat. And even with this amazing invention that he's built, it's still incomplete without the map of the human mind that was created in a theme park of all places. Maeve basically wants to know what's in it for her, and he says he's offering you an ideal future, offering her an ideal future, but not in this world because there's no future where their kind and his kind can coexist. But he's offering to actually send her to the world where her daughter is. And when she's like, nobody knows how to get there, he actually was like, actually, Dolores knows. And so this means that their interests are one in the same. And then he takes her for a stroll, and they end up at Arnold/Bernard's house. And Serac explains that this is the start of the divergence that his system traced here 3 months ago to this house. And inside, Maeve sees the host making equipment and realizes this is where Dolores remade herself. And then Serac shows from a tablet screen that not just herself, but allies also, saying that he's pretty sure that she stole a small number of pearls. And then in the other room, we see that there's a man that Serac's been torturing who is an identity broker. And he tells Maeve that this man got a windfall 3 months ago from a man who drowned in his own swimming pool. And we think that he's the one who helped Dolores get her new identity, but he's just the middleman. And finally, this man, after being tortured, including they put the that same technique of putting on the glasses and showing him through VR what's going to happen to his family if they don't cooperate. So finally, this man reveals that she needed 5 identities, and that they're going to have to visit someone named the Mortician, and that's all he knows. And at that point, Serac shoots him in the head. And then goes on to explain to Maeve that he was a traitor to his kind, even though he didn't know it, and that for humans, when they're dead, they're dead. They're just dead and gone. But for her kind, there really is a heaven and a hell. She can choose the heaven to go and be with her daughter for eternity, or the hell to go back to her cage, which I guess is where he's keeping her.
I guess that would just be an endless simulation of one of the, you know, being in the park or something.
Yeah, or, you know, even in that, like, those glass cases with the brain balls, right?
Right,
so it could just be, like, he just shuts her down, whatever. Maeve says, even if she does find Dolores, why should she bother bringing her back to him? And he reveals that he, too, has this little trigger thing in his pocket, a fail-safe, if you will, basically to control her tendencies to ensure that she cooperates. And then he says, see, we're both on the same side here. We're aligned. And he says, Dolores already has 5 more of your kind and already has a head start. And he suspects they've taken full advantage of that head start. And Maeve declares, oh, they better have, as she walks off.
But do you think Maeve is, at this point, the way she says that too, like, oh, they better have, it's in, I hope they have, or they better have, or I'm going to get them real quick, or, I mean, I can't tell. I think she's still a wild card as far as whose side she's on.
Agree. I mean, Serac's doing a really good job to bring her over to the dark side, right? I think once she learns that Dolores has the secret of where her daughter is, I think she's pretty hot for that knowledge. But I don't understand, yeah, why being so hell-bent to necessarily fight Dolores at this stage, right?
Yeah. I don't know if, like you said, at this point, it's all about she's going to try to get her, not get to her, so she can get that information. Of course, I think, as we're going to find out, Dolores basically doesn't care about her at all, and she realizes that she will probably turn more and more against Dolores. But I still feel like, overall, their goals should be similar as far as being free robots or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does seem strange that Maeve is so easily swayed. But again,
Maeve's
could be formulating her own plan to just break free from Serac.
I was about to say, she's good about playing the part she needs to play. Mm-hmm. And even as her original role as the madam, you know, like, she's always been like that. She plays the part she needs to play until it's time to spring out and do what she needs to do. Even if that means it hurts her for a little while, she will play that part until her time comes. So she's playing Ciroc, I think, or at least we have to assume she has a plan against him as well, because she's not one to enjoy the fact that he is basically forcing her to take his way. Like he says, oh, you can either have the heaven you want or you can have the hell that I've given you. Like, so she has no choice in his matter. And she's
she doesn't
not
like
one
that,
to,
I'm sure.
Yeah, she's not one to like something like that.
And, you know, in thinking about at the end when Maeve is left where she is, but there are men at the door, those are most likely Ciroc's men because it's revealed that she probably had a tracker inside of her. So presumably they're going to fix her up and Maeve, you know, she's going to be okay. So with that in mind, do you think he's also somewhat controlling her actions a little bit? Does he have some control over that?
I mean, obviously he can pause her and unpause her, so he's shown that he can do that, so possibly.
I'll be curious to see more of them. I do like him. You know, the actor is compelling, and his story is very interesting, the character.
Yeah, I love Vincent Cassell is always good. He's always smarmy and never a good guy.
Right.
He's like the typical, like stereotypical, like French sleazebag from anything.
Next, we cut to William is shaving, I guess getting ready for this board meeting. Funny, he's shaving in his living room in front of a broken mirror. Charlotte comes in and asks if something's wrong with his bathroom, which I love. He says he doesn't use that room anymore, which, of course, we saw in the opening scene when he's being haunted. There is that one scene where he like is emerging from the bathtub, same bathtub, I guess his wife killed herself in. So, I liked this like touch here that, you know, he's refusing to go back into the bathroom now. So he's shaving out here in the living room. Anyway, Charlotte asks to assist. So she takes over shaving him. Always a creepy, creepy scene when a robot shaves a human, you know, a blade that sharp next to someone's jugular. I don't know. It's a little, I was like, ee! I'm going to go back to another Game of Thrones reference. Theon shaving, what the hell's his name? Ramsay.
Yeah.
Okay. He says the first thing they need to do is find that mole. And she says only a handful of people knew about their off-the-books project, and most of them were killed in the massacre. And he points out that she knew about it, and she wasn't killed. Maybe you're the mole, Charlotte. So pretty smart there, William. And then good reply from her, too. She says if she were the mole, she'd tell Ciroc that taking over Delos is futile because all of the Sector 16 data was lost in the massacre. So, she's got a good story there. Anyway, next we get the tense moment of Dolores and Caleb going to the bank to make their transfer on behalf of their client, Liam Dempsey. And time's ticking with that blood marker. This is where, as they're walking in, where he asks, you know, if it doesn't work out, and she just says, okay, I'll have to kill them all then. But fortunately, it does work out, even though the scene is very, very tense. I really didn't go through all the beats, but, you know, all the identification doesn't work because his hand's too sweaty and all that. It was tense. It was very, very good. This is Aaron Paul at his finest.
Great Aaron Paul scene.
Aaron Paul. Even Dolores got a little squirmy in these scenes. You know, she got even a little tense and a little testy with that bank bank lady too. Like, you know, you're going to keep us waiting all day or something. She gets really, real testy. But yeah, great, great Aaron Paul acting. Anything else you want to say about the bank heist? Like I said, or about the whatever?
No,
I really went through it fast.
I like that it built the tension that you thought that at any second it could go wrong, but I'm glad it didn't go wrong because if it would have and she would have just started shooting everyone, it almost would feel like, okay, so at this point, anytime Dolores and Caleb run into anything, it just turns into a shootout. I think that would have been a little repetitive. So I like that they built the tension, but then it was like, oh, everything's good.
It also seems like a shootout in a bank of that caliber, or just any bank really, would draw too much attention and blow her cover.
Yeah,
like,
in fact, I even kind of...
The jig would be up then, right?
I kind of wondered if she started shooting, how would the bank transfer get made? Because it's not like they were there stealing cash, so what would have been the point of just starting to shoot people?
I don't know. I guess to get away with the money.
Yeah, just to... Well, no, they wouldn't have had the money because it didn't go through.
Yeah.
So I think if anything, it was just like, well, if it fucks up, we just shoot everybody and get the hell out of here. So I'm glad it didn't get to that.
Yeah, me too. It wouldn't have felt
but a good
right.
scene.
Yeah, and I like even Caleb's intimidation moment where he's like, how my client chooses to spend my money or spend yeah. his money is his business. You know, who are you to say? Because right. the lady was like, this is a really large withdrawal yeah. all at once. So, you know, Caleb, he's playing the game. He's in. I like it. Next, we see this cool scene of Maeve walking through downtown Singapore. And as she's walking, she's able to, like, affect all of the electronics around her. I can't tell if it's, like, she's reading and scanning everything around her. But it was really cool.
Well, it's kind of her power that she had back in Westworld.
Right. Like, so, to kind of, like, whisper to them all, right?
Right, yeah.
Control them all. And, of course, that skill set that was handy that we were reminded of that because it sure does come in handy very soon. But she makes her way to this mortician woman and lets her know that she appreciates a woman who runs her own establishment. This place is pretty gross. But after Maeve kills all of the mortician's men... the mortician finally does agree to bring Maeve to the Yakuza, which is where Laura got Laura, which was Dolores's identity, got the bodies. So we learn here from this mortician that she got the identity of Laura from the mortician, and she got the blood to I guess solidify that identity from this mortician, but the bodies actually come from the Yakuza. Anything else to say about that scene?
No, it was cool. It was gross. She's like got some dude with his stomach cut open and stuff, but I like she just comes in there complete badass. She comes in there so like nonchalant, like she's not gonna kill everybody, and then as soon as the guy like stands up, she just bam shoots him in the head.
Yeah, I like the explanation here though. And again, following along with this, you've got to have this like blood to have this identity. Yeah. But I do like the go into the Yakuza for the bodies. And of course, because of the reveal, especially.
Yeah. But I mean, even this whole black market of, like you said, bodies and blood and stuff, it reminded me a lot of, Minority Report, if you've ever yes. seen that movie, or yes. like when he has to go to the black market to get the eyes to be able to walk through. So it was cool.
It was. Next we get a very ridiculous party, I guess.
It's like Eyes Wide Shut party.
Eyes Wide Shut, exactly in my nose. It's some sort of like big sex party, Eyes Wide Shut party.
But like an auction, like a charity yes. auction.
Wealthy
for prostitutes.
People are buying prostitutes on display.
But for a good cause.
Sure. Liam's, yeah, they do say it's for charity, but they don't really identify the charity. So
it's probably to help victims of COVID-47.
Yes. Well, God love them then, because they need all the help they can get. So you go, prostitutes. Good job. So Roderick and Penny are there. Glad to see these two again. They are consoling Liam about Laura's death.
Yeah, when they popped up, I immediately thought you must have given a little hurrah because I thought for sure we'd never see those two again.
Yeah, I was like, cool, we are seeing them again.
And they both have a little comic relief here in a minute, so I like that.
They do. I really liked this scene. Roderick even remarks about like Laura's death, like who dies of an overdose these days? Yeah, you know, it's funny. Then Roderick, and I think this is going to be important. Roderick gives Liam a drug called Genre. He says it's a brand new digital psychopharma hybrid, hits your implant and bloodstream and sends you straight back to the silent era and back or whatever. This drug, so, you know, made me think of like what was the nostalgia in yeah. Watchmen, but also you know, somehow again interacts with the implant. I think that's gonna, I think this genre drug, maybe the only thing that is important about it is that we know that Penny for sure is on it in the, you know, in a later scene. So right. maybe that's the only significant.
Well, these implants in general, we've seen how using that implant, they were able to change Caleb's vitals and stuff. So, I mean, is there a way that Dolores can possibly break into these implants and, you know, kill millions of people at a time by giving them all heart attacks? Is there a way that they can actually change what they see and what they think, and she can turn them all? Or, I mean, are we going to get to the point? I'm surprised even now we haven't got to the point where we might now see Maeve being able to control people with implants.
Oh.
You know, if she can mess with electricity and computers and stuff, maybe she's going to be able to manipulate people with implants.
Well, shouldn't, aren't we to assume that the most people, if not all, have
implants? It does. I mean, the way they keep talking about it, it makes it seem like more and more people do have them. Hmm. Of course, well, it actually, I don't know. It seems like wealthy people have them for sure. And then Caleb had one for military. Because they even make that remark about, oh, it's a military grade implant.
Right.
So I don't know if maybe everyone has them or if most people, if just certain people, but it does seem like
Caleb's mom had one. That's true. She's not wealthy.
So maybe everyone at this point does have them for certain reasons.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they're implanted at birth.
Yikes.
I know. Scary. Anyway, Caleb and Dolores are also at this party. And of course, their plan is to nab Liam. Not really sure why. Maybe just to kill him? Turn maybe him into a host. Because now they've taken his money, so they can't let him, they have to put him in the game, right?
Either that or even just to get him kind of isolated and out of the way so he can't start telling people that everything is going awry.
Yeah. We see new Chibs is there. He's keeping an eye out from the balcony above, watching everything, you know, unfold. So he's informing Dolores of Liam's every move. And then Liam becomes fixated with one of the prostitutes on a stage that looks a lot like Dolores. And then he decides to buy her or rent her or whatever. And he's being told that his account's been denied, that the funds aren't available. He says that's impossible. Storms off to find Connell's. I love this too, because as he's storming off, Roderick's like, "I can loan you the money.
I'll spot you.
Yeah, I'll spot you." It was funny. Anyway, but as he's storming off to find Connell's, Bernard and Stubbs, we learn, are also there, and they intercept him because, of course, they think he's a host, and they immediately, Bernard tries to use that remote control on him, and when it doesn't work, they realize that Liam hasn't been changed yet into a host. So then Stubbs just pulls a gun on Liam the old-fashioned way to get him to cooperate, and they start escorting him out of the building.
And we already see Chibs immediately, like, has been watching this whole thing go down, which at that point you realize, oh, Dolores is, again, two steps ahead of them. She almost expected this to happen because he's like, your old friends are here.
Yeah, it was great. And of course, Dolores intercepts them and begins shooting people all around. And Bernard and Liam take off. And Dolores gives Caleb her gun and tells him to stay on those two. And then she and Stubbs just have a great fight.
There are a couple of fantastic lines right before this. Yes. At first, when she gives Caleb the gun, he's like, but are you sure? She goes, trust me, I won't need it. So I love that. Like, And then this whole dialogue between Stubbs and Dolores before they fight, where Stubbs basically says, look, I don't even want to be here. Blame Bernard. Like, he reprogrammed me, and it's nothing personal. And then she even says, yeah, me too. Like,
I love that. Nothing personal. She says likewise.
Yeah, I love that there's this almost mutual, just like, yeah, we understand we both have to, one of us has to get there and one of us isn't going to get there. So sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, while they're fighting, it is great. We see Penny from one of her sex rooms, clearly on this genre drug, is watching it. And then even Roderick is coming up the stairs and he starts to see it. They both clearly recognize Laura here. Yeah. And then after after Dolores throws Stubbs off the balcony, Penny talks about like, wow, these drugs are really great or something. Yeah. And then as she walks by Roderick, he says, Laura. And she just points to her frontal lobe and
That spot her head that spot that yeah, that makes us think about God or whatever.
Yeah.
Great. That was awesome.
Leaving them both just kind of like gaping mouth. Like
and the way she gives that line of oh, these drugs are great or this what so it just they're both gonna just play it off like man, did this stuff really does
see just, that?
Yeah,
it was great. Approaching next we cut to Maeve and the mortician. They're approaching the hideout of the Yakuza and the mortician remarks that they have this new boss. He's, you know, kind of crazy, been, you know, very difficult to infiltrate here. Doesn't think that Maeve's going to be able to really get into this fortress they have.
Can't just walk right in there.
Yeah. She just shows off her skills handily, disables the alarm system and the gate code. And even when the Yakuza men begin to attack, she's able to control their guns' self-aiming mechanisms, causing all the men essentially to shoot themselves. It was this great, like, Matrix-style slow-mo shootout, slow bullet scene, even concluding with a man with a samurai sword at the end who Maeve easily handles. And now awesome. She has a sword. Yeah, it was another awesome, awesome fight. Like, too bad Radio Labyrinth people have noped out because this episode was just so action-packed and so much fun to see. Whether it's men or women, just it's just the kick-ass nature of these fights are wonderful. Right. Cut back to the scenes really start cutting fast here. Cut back to Dolores is waiting for Charlotte, clearly was going too fast with my notes. Charlotte is waiting for William outside when he comes out. She says she never realized how well he was able to put himself back together. And he remarks that he actually never fell apart. And before they leave, William gets one last vision of Emily. And he says to her that he's going to walk out that door and chooses to leave her behind. And then she sinisterly says that she'll be waiting for him. Cut back to Maeve. She is approaching now Sato, who is this new Yakuza boss. He's kind of like behind a cage, you know, like Yakuza bosses work in those like back of the warehouse cages, right? And then she has to fight one other Yakuza guy. This time she stabs him, but also punctures a hole in one of the barrels in this warehouse. And it's revealed to be that white milk goo that, you know, that we make host from that's inside that barrel. Interesting.
That's a lot of barrels in there, too.
That is a lot of barrels. So I have a feeling there's a lot more host making going on.
Or at least there potentially could be, yeah.
Hosts who think that they're really human. Like perhaps everybody, because we're really in future world. and the whole world is a simulation.
There you go.
Still is a possibility. It'll piss a lot of people off, but it's still a possibility. Anyway, finally, the Yakuza boss emerges and reveals himself. And oh my God, Dean. Didn't see this one coming.
I saw it coming like 10 seconds before it happened. Like as he stands up, I'm like, oh, I wonder if it's, and of course you won't know this because you've never watched Lost, but he's a character in the last season of Lost. His name was Dogen. And there I'm like, oh snap, I bet it's Dogen. Cause that's the only name I connect with him for that. But yeah, as he stood up and started walking out, I'm like, oh, I bet it's the dude from Samurai World or Shogun World or wherever. And then hell yeah, it was.
It was great. Musashi.
Because we've been wondering even at that point before the Dolores reveal, I was like, well, who are these other, you know, we know there's a couple other hosts that she made. And when he started standing up, I immediately thought, oh, this is the next host that we're going to be introduced to. So
yes.
Awesome.
Same. Yeah. Loved it. And of course, as soon as Maeve recognizes him, he shoots the mortician.
Yeah.
So I guess that they can have a candid conversation. Shoots and kills the mortician. We cut back to Caleb has intercepted Bernard and Liam at the car. He's holding a gun to Bernard's head and demanding that Bernard release Liam to him. Bernard concludes that Caleb is helping Dolores, and he asks Caleb, "Are you one of us?" Yeah. And Caleb says, "I don't know what you're talking about." Finally, New Chibs and three other security guys arrive, but New Chibs immediately turns on them, kills all three of them, then turns the gun on Bernard, looks at Liam, who of course Liam still thinks this is Martin Connell's, and he tells Liam to run. Then as Liam runs off, he looks over at Caleb and says, you better go after him.
Yeah.
So Caleb runs off, and this leaves these two hosts alone to have a private conversation. And that is, of course, what happens. Once they're alone, New Chibs reveals that he is actually a host, or Bernard quickly figures it out. Aha, so you're the one that she has captured and replaced, not Liam. Yep. So it doesn't take Bernard remote?
Why don't you try to use his remote real quick on him?
Yeah, good question. Good question. I don't know. Everything starts happening really quickly here. I've got next, it's very fast flashing through these three scenes of Maeve speaking with Musashi and New Chibs speaking with Bernard and William speaking with Charlotte. And all three of them kind of at the same time coming to the conclusion that these three hosts are in fact all Dolores.
Multiple Doloreses.
Did I say I had something else I wanted to say about the scene when the reveal happened? Now I can't remember. We were talking at the top of the show.
how smart I am for figuring this out. Is that what it was?
I mean, I am very, I was like, oh my God, Dean, you did it. You're right. I mean, that's awesome. But I just don't like it. I just don't like that. I don't know. Maybe because I want to see like some more of my favorite characters return. Maybe it's just that, but
I get why people maybe turned off on it, but at the same time, you think about even, you know, we've seen her use her little earpiece and like knowing all the things that are going on and watching everything and getting rides. I like the idea that she basically put that it's Rehoboam versus Dolores. Like, so mm-hmm. if they have their all knowing thing, she's basically becoming her all knowing thing. She has agents everywhere. And even if they are different people, and again, I still think that they might have been, I think these pearls are, we are going to find out they are other pearls.
Yeah.
But I like the idea that she copied over them. So basically, like you said, she's created this Borg, basically this hive mind mm-hmm. where she's connected them all to her and overwritten them with her in charge. So that they can act independently, but at the same time, she can basically always know what's happening with them. She's like the queen yeah. bee, basically.
Yeah, and so that would stand a reason why, I guess, if their original personalities, quote-unquote personalities, could somehow break through. I don't know. And again, so... She gets the five identities from the mortician, but Maeve learns she only used one of them. So she still has other identities also?
That she could use to... Remember, these things she got from the mortician are not hosts. They are...
Right, they're like cover stories.
Bloods,
like,
yeah.
Dead people's right. identities, essentially.
Right. Yeah,
but the mortician's middleman revealed that she got five.
Right, so she potentially could still become other people, but that may even be just for her. So she could like sure. how she did with Caleb. She could walk in somewhere and say she's this person or that person, and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. All right. Well, maybe it'll come back to me if I had other thoughts on that. But I don't know. I feel like there still has to be another like reveal to this, another layer.
There probably will be. I think there will be. I mean, we're only four episodes in, so.
So yeah, this is where, as these scenes are all flashing and they're all having these conversations and coming to the realization that they're all Dolores. Maeve even says to Musashi, who she now knows as Dolores, you brought other pearls. I assumed that you brought your friends, but you just made copies of yourself. And Musashi, as Dolores says, if you want something done right, you do it yourself. And then they proceed to start fighting. Why?
Well, I mean, wasn't she tasked with killing Dolores?
Or bringing the data of what Dolores has inside of her, I guess, is what.
And then Musashi she's figured it out. So, I mean, she's just trying to silence her at that point. But yeah, I don't know why she wouldn't at least try to talk her into like joining her or anything, but I don't know.
Yeah. Seemed like a quite kind of a weird like fight to break out right away. But anyway, that's what happens. And, Musashi does best Maeve here and ends up stabbing her through the gut.
Yeah.
And then we cut back to New Chibs is telling Bernard to get in the car. And New Chibs is revealing that he's got one of those remotes in his pocket, too. So unclear if he's pushing the button here or not, but he's kind of like, this is how he's intimidating Bernard, is with this, I've got my own remote control, and I know how to use it, buddy. Right? I think that's the last we see of Bernard.
Yeah.
So he's just being taken away by New Chibs, a.k.a. Dolores the second. Or the third. then Charlotte is taunting William once he's realized that she is also Dolores. She's saying things. She says to him, isn't it a relief to know that some of your delusions are real? This is where she says, you know, I've been listening to your conversations and isn't it a relief to know some of your delusions are real? And then he starts to attack her. He gets really mad. He's going to attack her. And she reverts to Charlotte. You know, to like human Charlotte.
Yeah.
And starts telling the men who are grabbing William, oh, it's okay. I'm not hurt. He's just sick. He's delusional. Don't hurt him. It's okay. And William is screaming, none of this is real. This is not fucking real. He's still yelling it, and they cart him off to a mental hospital.
Yeah. And I love that he's like, you work for me. And she's like, oh, didn't I tell you they don't work for you? They like she brought them there. You know, he thought that they were all there for him to go to this board meeting, and the board meeting's not even going on right now. It was just them there to commit him, and she played his ass. It was awesome.
Do you think the board meeting scene that we saw in episode one was actually
possibly after this board meeting?
These events here, because the MPC and then she needs his votes by computer. You know, computer proxy or whatever. She's already got it all worked out. I'm thinking that that was a scene that took place after this occurred.
It's possible, but he even made comments as if he knew that this was already going on. Like, you know, because he even said, like, I left you the thing so that, you know, these kind of stupid things wouldn't happen. Like, he knew she was running the company.
Yeah.
So I assume that the proxy was already there. But she even made the comment, like, now that their board's going to find you incompetent and I'm going to get all of your, you know, it'll all go to the acting president. So I do think this is the next step forward.
That's right. Because at that board meeting, they couldn't officially vote because they couldn't vote for this private, to go private because they actually needed him there or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Might have to go back and just rewatch that scene, but. Anyway, right before they can completely haul William off, Charlotte does say to him that now the board will deem him incompetent and all of his Delos shares will be transferred to the acting president, which is, of course, her. And as he continues to scream and holler, they inject something into his neck, rendering him basically immobile. And then Charlotte leans in real close to him and says, I promise I'd let you destroy yourself one day, and here we are at last. Hmm. And then she takes a little prick of his blood from a poker in her finger. So this is where I think now with his blood, this is how she's going to be able to get his information to create a host version of him.
Wait, do we see one more scene with him?
Yeah, we do at the end.
Yeah. Okay, so here is what I was thinking. Again, is she pricking him to try to get blood from him, or was she dosing him with something? Because I still think this might have been like somehow it's her way of making these Emily, or even her, because she shows up at the end, right? Dolores shows up at the end. So it's almost, I didn't know if maybe it was a way. Yeah, so it could go either. I think it could go either way. I was just thinking of it that way, but that makes sense too, that she would be trying to take his blood. But yeah, she took a lot of blood from the one guy.
The first thing they injected him with could have been the hallucinogenics. Like, if they wanted to give him hallucinogenics, I don't think they'd be so covert about it.
Right.
She, yeah. But yeah, I didn't even think about it that way. But yeah, I think she was after his blood. So I think it's for future host versions. But I don't.
Yeah.
If you may, like, maybe this is showing, like, if you're going to make a host version of someone who was once human, you have to start with their blood to be able to recreate their DNA or whatever.
Right.
So, because we knew they made like a host version of James Delos last season, right? The, you know.
Right.
We, so, but they never really explained that process. So maybe that's what this is here. Anyway, next, we see Caleb has caught up to Liam. They had just last been seen running off. And then Liam is saying, you know, what do you need? I'll pay you, you know. And Caleb says, I already have all your money.
Yeah.
You can't give me anything. I already have all your money. And then Dolores arrives and says, hello, lover, very sinisterly. You know, Liam is like, what the fuck? And that's the last we see of them. So here are our final scenes. Maeve is apparently dead, as dead as she can be, on the ground in a pool of her own blood and the host milk that's leaked from the barrel. It's really a beautiful scene of this mixture of this red and white. Musashi's bending over at her head with his sword. I'm thinking here he's possibly about to start to cut out her pearl, her brain.
Yeah, I that's exactly what I thought. He was about to just scalp her and take the pearl.
And it seems like that action would have taken all of 2 seconds to complete.
I thought the same.
Yeah. However, he's interrupted by his men saying that there are several armed men outside and they can't hold them off any longer and that they need to get him out of there. So,
I thought the same. I thought he could have easily have just,
let's go, know, but he decides to abandon, the original plan so that they can get the hell out of there. And, he does say something about realizing that, those men were probably tracking Maeve, that she had some sort of a tracker in her. So I'm believing.
Well, you know what? Maybe the trackers, maybe the tracker's in her pearl now.
In the brain ball. Right. So maybe that's why. Yeah. They decide to abandon the brain ball. That makes sense too. But anyway, so I'm assuming these men are going to find her and revive her. Maeve's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Unlike Stubbs, who, you know, can't swim 5 miles and not have an injured shoulder. Okay. Final scene. William is in an all white, like, institutional uniform, and he's in a facility in his room. It's a pretty nice room for a mental health hospital, I gotta say. Sure.
Well, when you're the CEO of one of the largest companies, you know, if Tim Cook goes insane, I'm sure Apple will set him up with a really nice padded
room.
Good
point. Yeah, yeah. It did make me think of the space they had, James, that they were holding James Delos in for those simulations that they were doing over and over again. Anyway, he's visited by Dolores from the past. And this could all, of course, possibly be in his mind. But this is, of course, the Dolores dressed in her all-blue Sweetwater uniform. She says that it was Emily's last wish that you spend your last days rotting in an institution. And then she sits down next to him and says, I guess you've reached the center of your maze, William. But the maze is about understanding, and you still don't understand who you are. If any of this was your choice, wouldn't you already know? And then she says, ask me the question you so desperately want to know. And finally, William says, am I me?
Yeah.
And Dolores cradles his face in her hands and says, welcome to the end of the game. And then she disappears, leaving William alone. And we cut to credits.
So again, is William a host or not?
If not, he's for sure about to be. Maybe by this point, he is. So what we didn't see from the time Charlotte nabbed him and pricked his neck and took his blood to now here's the first iteration of host version of William in this mental institution, going through like a simulation to get his cornerstone or his fidelity test or whatever they have to do, right? Okay. Did you watch the trailer for the next episode? Looks bananas.
Yeah, I think which I like, because I feel like season two kind of slowed in the middle of it. It looks like this is just
full steam ahead.
Not so happening. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like Dolores wakes up Caleb. There was that scene where she's like, I'm going to have to wake you up. I was like, oh, shit. And we also get some Ciroc backstory.
I'm just glad we're going to see Marshawn Lynch again blowing shit up with his light-up emoji shirt.
Yes. I wonder if we will get any reveals about Ciroc's past with Ford and perhaps the brother.
I do hope. And now we're not, you know, they haven't said yet. I know they said before this aired that they wanted to do one more season. Mm-hmm. And they haven't said, I mean, obviously they haven't said this is the final season yet. I don't know if they've filmed this season so that it would wrap if it needed to be or if not.
They did. So that's exactly what happened. HBO basically told them, you can do this season if it's well received. You know, you'll probably get another season or two as your original plan. But
there needs to be some kind of conclusion.
Yeah, okay. Plan for it to possibly then also serve as a series finale.
I do really hope, and I think they did it in a it was voiceover mostly, right? But I do hope they bring Anthony Hopkins back at some point.
Yeah,
because you got like he was such a I know that they do this with shows now. They did it with Sean Bean with Game of Thrones in the one season, which made sense because that's how the books were. But they put this heavy hitter there in the first season, kill him off. He's not there in the future. But Anthony Hopkins was he's what made that first season so great. And I really do hope they bring him back at least. In one scene of one episode toward the end to tie some kind of bow on everything. Cause Ford
would be amazing.
Until they pushed off to Arnold, Ford was the architect behind everything.
Right.
And I still think he is the architect behind everything.
You mean until they pushed off to Bernard?
Arnold.
Yeah.
So I hope we see him at some point or hear him or somehow get a flashback with him.
So, yeah, I mean, 4 episodes left. I think full steam ahead. I think it's going to be a lot of reveals. We're going to be coming on week to week going, oh, my God, can you believe it?
Yes.
So it's happening. It's happening.
So watch the show, people. Catch up.
Yes. Yes. And then keep listening to Mike TV for more.
Yeah, especially if you need help because you can't understand what's happening.
Yeah, like if you've got specific questions that you'd like us to find the answers to, send us an email at miketvpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, or you can send it to us on Twitter at miketv1 or at rockdale_tiger. We're always there. Just shoot us what you got. Yes. We'll answer them for you.
Engage with us. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Westworld and so much more. And of course, we're going to be back in just a couple short days with our coverage of this week's Better Call Saul episode, which was also amazing.
Yes.
So stick around for that. All right. Anything else here, Dean? Before we wrap
up? No, I'm good. Let's wrap it.
Let's do it. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. And until next time, I'm Lisa.
And I am Dean.
And please remember to
keep it thorough. And wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Don't cough in people's faces.